This business.
Mary Helen, can I just ask you something?
Sure.
Is there any reason why at the beginning of our budget process, when we start our hearings, that we couldn't ask the Independent Budget Office to just prepare a one-pager showing, as you say, holistically, all the proposed increases of SDCs, because they're all baked into all the budgets and they're all part of the thing, and do that as a single document so the public would have that and we could look at it holistically?
Sure, give me a magic wand and I'll wave it and so be it.
Well, I think the mayor's probably...
I think it would be a perfect informative tool to use in how we plan, because we talk about affordable housing, low-cost housing, all those things, yet you don't... talking with PCRI and Proud Ground and Home Forward, you know, as... they have all different kinds of fees that are waived that they have to pay, those kinds of things. People want to immediately go to permit fees. Well, that's only like 7% of the cost. Mm-hmm. All the rest is in other places. And 6 years on DRAC, I still don't have a down pat. But I think that's an excellent idea because I don't believe that they're making outlandish claims to what needs to be paid for, but I think you need a overarching look at what those processes are. And like Commissioner Fisk pointed out, do you spend money on autonomous vehicles? Do you spend money on sidewalks? Do you spend money on pedestrian ways? I live in a neighborhood that doesn't have sidewalks. We don't have a bus. I mean, it's fine, but how do you evaluate what program's going to get the most bang for the buck? And I think that DRAC is adamant about trying to get that overarching look. It will help the development community and it'll help the city. I think because you got the letters, I'm not going to go over it, but I just wanted to point out that I thought it was remarkable that DRAC came together and supported a fee increase. I don't know how often you see that. And it points to the fact that they want to do better and they want to see and overall approach to all fees and regulations. We do have a subcommittee that's been meeting, but it's been kind of the Mayor Wheeler had the group that looked at that, and I think that could be the continuum. It could mm-hmm. be a phase two of that group and include DRAC in that conversation.
Agreed. I think that's a good template, and it's reminiscent of the work that Commissioner Udaly and I did on the permitting. We did do a Gator session where we brought together different bureaus. And that's where we reached that conclusion that it's really only 6% of the total development cost. I'm not saying that 6% isn't important, but it's not the economic driver. And we'd heard a narrative that it was the economic driver. And so if nothing else, we came out of the Gator session realizing, okay, there's areas in terms of process and accountability where we can strengthen our cross-bureau collaboration. But we also realized that the prevailing narrative was, in fact, a false narrative. And now we have the facts to back it. So I agree with you and Commissioner Fish's notion that when we come into the budget process, it would be helpful to have all of this information on one page, much in the way that the Transportation Bureau put it all on one page for this particular presentation. So I agree with that.
Good. I'll report back to the draft next week. They'll like that.
And is DRAC referring to the percentage of cost relative to the overall budget of a given project, or the potential, I guess, disincentive to build at all?
I think it's to the cost. I don't think it's a disincentive approach. I'm going to speak outside of my DRAC hat now. I don't think that price increase will be a disincentive. I think they'll build. It'll just be more expensive at probably the cost of more affordable homes.
Okay, thanks.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Pia Welch. I'm the chair of the Portland Freight Committee and also a PBAC member. The Portland Freight Committee had put together a work group, and we primarily concentrated on the project list. And we were very pleased. We reviewed the transportation system plan project list and the newly adopted regional overdimensional truck study project list that came out of that study. And we would like to acknowledge and thank the PBOT staff for the inclusion of our recommendations, which includes the Columbia Boulevard Georgia Middle School pedestrian overpass replacement, the Columbia Boulevard Railroad undercrossing improvement, and then North Portland Columbia Slough Bridge replacement. In reviewing the project list, we believe that the project list is a little more robust and balanced allocation of funding between all the modes. So, again, we would like to thank everyone for their work on this project.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioner Saltzman, and members of council. My name is Elliot Akwai-Scott. I'm the vice chair of the Portland Bicycle Advisory Committee. The Bicycle Advisory Committee is a modal committee appointed by council and charged with advising the city on all matters relating to bicycling. The BAC had an opportunity to review the proposed TSDC changes in May this year with the presentation by PBOT staff. I'm here today to speak on behalf of the BAC in support of the TSDC update, including the updated methodology, the project list, and the rate schedule. The proposed new TSDC methodology for assessing charges to new development on a per-person trip rather than per-vehicle trip basis reflects Portland's multimodal transportation network and growing use of active transportation. The BAC supports a multimodal approach to transportation policy that includes bicycle trips and acknowledges the contribution that bicycling makes to the city's transportation infrastructure. The BAC also endorses the TSDC project list, which was developed through a robust process drawing from the city's previous transportation planning efforts, public outreach, and strong considerations for equity and safety. TSDC list projects provide new transportation capacity that supports demand generated by new development. Since 2000, more new commute trips in the city have been supported by bicycling than by any other mode of transportation based on U.S. Census data. The BAC finds that the updated Transportation Systems Development Charge Program aligns with the city's comprehensive plan and transportation system plan goals of prioritizing a multimodal transportation system. And finally, the BAC supports the adjustment of TSDC rates from 40% to 50% of the eligible list to better align with rates assessed by other jurisdictions in the Portland metro region, generating approximately $300 million over the next 10 years to help the city build out a multimodal infrastructure, especially in areas like East Portland, where existing infrastructure is struggling to support increased demand and where increasing user safety continues to be a pressing concern. I'd just like to add, as a personal reflection, I think the process for developing the TSDC project list and the considerations that the PBOT staff and consultants showed to equity and safety and considerations building list were some of the strongest of any city project that I've seen. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you all. I'm Laura Becker, outgoing co-chair of PBOT's Budget and Bureau Advisory Committee. It's been an honor, and I appreciate the opportunity to represent this thoughtful and diverse group of volunteers who help PBOT better understand the people they serve and their concerns. During the committee's most recent term, we did discuss a variety of topics related to the TSDC program and update, including the shift to a person trip methodology, the proposed project list, and increased rates. This update will secure a fair share from developers for transportation improvements needed to accommodate Portland's growth over the next 10 years. We support the 169 projects recommended for funding. The project team presented evaluation criteria to ensure general geographic proportionality, meet the city's multimodal transportation goals, and continue to provide and improve access to jobs, housing, and daily needs in underserved communities. The TSDC update project list draws from the adopted TSP and other recently adopted plans, including Vision Zero, as well as plans that are in the process of adoption. The increased eligibility of more projects results in a more forward-looking project list that moves the dial on equity across the city. The current TSDC rates simply do not and will not generate enough revenue, and it is our neighbors who are already under pressure that are burdened from the delay of needed projects. We hope the council will approve the proposed rate, which will raise up to $229 million or $300 million towards completing capacity and growth-oriented transit projects where they are and will be needed over the next 10 years. Thank you for considering our committee's recommendations.
Thank you.
Thank you. That completes the invited testimony.
Very good. Carla, is there a public testimony?
Yes, I have about eight people left.
Very good. 3 minutes each. When Carla calls your name, please state your name for the record.
Okay. The first three are Jason Franklin, Terry Doblinsky-Milton, and Amy Wren.
Terry, would you like to go first, please?
Sure.
Thank you, sir.
I am Terry Doblinsky-Milton, and most of my comments will be speaking on behalf of Southeast Uplift, where I'm co-chair. I would like to thank everybody who's spoken so far. Southeast Uplift did not have time with PBOT's request to comment on this whole thing, as we usually take a couple of months to debate. But I can speak on certain things that we have voted on. Southeast Uplift... we have consistently voted in favor of multimodal projects, and so using the new methodology is in line with all our previous votes. It seems to make sense. I would personally defer to PBOT's recommendations when it comes to the transportation impact fees. As we all know, we need more money for transportation. Now, similarly, we didn't take a stand on the entire project list, but through a community-driven process I call Southeast Uplift in Motion, we have endorsed multiple projects in the past that can be looked at as Priority 1 projects that have been funded, and then a next tier, which we request get funded next. I would like to highlight two of them, which have had board approval. The Reway Overpass, which you will see on your map, is a red line over by the railroad tracks by McLaughlin, fills a 1.7-mile gap between the Bybee bike lanes and the double elevator Lafayette Overpass.
Terry, could you sit back from the mic a little because it's
okay.
Popping?
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
It's endorsed as the highest priority for Smile, Reed, Eastmoreland, and Brooklyn. The Southeast Uplift endorsed allocation of transportation impact fees, I'm going to use that term, for design and outreach, not build, because we know this is going to be expensive. And we want to see a ramped option so we know the costs. Since this is connecting Westmoreland to Reed College, we all know what's going to happen in the middle of the night with the college students if there's elevators. And not only that, the Lafayette Overpass was down for 3 months last winter because of water damage, and then it was also closed during the heat because of the greenhouse effect. It was too hot to go in the elevators. And so if we want a good connection, it needs to be ramped. And for the next minute or so, I'd like to talk about the 60s bikeway. This has the long route, which has been circled. It has been endorsed as the highest priority of all six neighborhoods along the route, North Mount, South Tabor, Mount Scott Arletta, Brentwood Darlington, and Foster Powell. You can look at it as three parts. The northern section from Davis to the 60th MAX station in Halsey was just endorsed unanimously, which I testified for last week on the Growing Transit Communities Project. This is one of the highest densities of R1 we have in Southeast Uplift, and the R1 zoning would be facilitated by this project. South of Division is a Safe Routes to Schools project for all the southern neighborhoods to access Mount Tabor Park, the New South entrance, and the Harrison Lincoln Greenway, which is getting a safety modernization as part of the gas tax. Then the middle section connecting Lincoln to Davis will assess Stark, Burnside, and access to Mount Tabor Park for areas that don't currently have access. A couple more seconds. And Burnside right now is the highest largest pro tem parking left on the east side, which has those three lanes that appear and disappear depending on the commute times. And this project will do an engineering assessment of that. Plus, one personal plug, Amy has a good project that I think should be added. Thank you.
Well done. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Mayor and commissioners, Jason Franklin, Director of Campus Planning and Design, Portland State University. Thanks for listening to our testimony. Portland State University has submitted a letter, which I believe you all have, a kind of fact sheet going over kind of our analysis of the new rate study and rate sheet. And first I want to say thanks to Commissioner Saltzman for the amendment to the rate study. So we were speaking in favor of that this morning. We know how hard it is for staff to come up with a defensible rate study, and we certainly appreciate the need for TSDCs. We're supportive of it. We're supportive of the amendments and the changes to the rate study. However, the rate study previously published actually more than tripled the rates on university buildings, and so we think this was just simply a kind of wasn't enough time for staff to go through and do the analysis on all the different types of buildings and uses in the project. And so we've been talking to staff about that for the last couple of months, and we're happy that they've come forward with amendment, which we fully support. And we think provides a modest increase to the university, which is more in line with all the other increases that you see in the TSDC rate list. So we support the amendment. And again, thanks for all the hard work of staff and working with us and Commissioner Saltzman for supporting the amendment. So thank you.
Very good. Thank you for your testimony. Good morning.
Hi. Thank you. My name is Amy Wren, and I'm here to request an addition to the list of projects. So it's already pretty big. I'm here to request another one. So the project that I am proposing is on Southeast Mill between Southeast 80th and Southeast 86th or 82nd. So it's a two-block stretch of road. You all have photos of the stretch of road. It is the safe routes to school for Bridger K through 8 school. It currently is, it does not have sidewalks, and it currently floods anytime there's rain. It is also the neighborhood greenway that continues past Lincoln. So once you pass Tabor, it is the greenway to East Portland. It is very important that this project gets put on this list at this time because this stretch of road, Southeast Mill, is being planned to have the sewer replaced down the middle of the road. So this road, in the next couple of years, will be completely torn up and the sewer line will be replaced. There's no plans currently to change the street, so no plans to add drainage, no plans to add sidewalks at this time. So the TSD, the funds, if they were added on, could kind of connect these two projects. The goal also is to get funding from Safe Routes to School. They have acknowledged that this stretch is an issue, as you can see from the photos. And additionally, the neighbors who live on this street are currently working towards possibly creating a LID. So the people who live on the street are discussing, like, we might be willing to put money into this fund to help pay for it. However, without the funding from the TSD fees, it's just not affordable for the people on the street to do it. So I'm here to ask that we add this to the list. I currently don't live on the street. I also currently don't have children that go to the school, but I do use the neighborhood greenway. And the reason I got involved with this is because every single day I see kids struggling through that stretch of street. There's a lot of kids who get off TriMet on 82nd. They take the 72nd bus. They get off at 82nd. They cross 82nd because that's one of the only places where there's a streetlight currently to get to Bridger. So they cross 82nd, and they are met with that road. You have photos. I think they speak for themselves. So I'm just here to ask that we add this project to the list.
Thank you, Amy. Commissioner Fritz?
Thank you for your testimony, and thank you for the photographs. They really do tell a thousand words. Thank you for your altruism, too. I mean, I'm sure the improvements for you as somebody passing through are less than those of people actually going there. So we'll ask staff at the end whether we could do that. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very good. Next three, please, Carla.
Are Jim Brown, Eli Spivak, and Alan Kessler.
And then there are two more after that, Carla, is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is Jim Brown. I'm an attorney representing Western Container Corporation and Trico Real Estate, LLC, in support of the city's proposed amendments to the TSDC code to adopt the 2017 rate study, to establish an updated rate schedule and amend the code. We respectfully remind the council that in its recent August 30th meeting, they adopted the North Suttle Road LID. And PBOT on the 23rd meeting recommended a $500,000 contribution from the TSDC funds towards the North Suttle Road LID development. We therefore request that the council include the North Solar Road LID on the list of projects eligible for the TSDC funding and that they provide the recommended PBOT contribution. I've also attached to my written comments letters of support from Supreme Perlite Company and Oil Re-Refining Company, who are also property owners in the North Solar Road LID district. We appreciate the city's contribution towards the North Solar Road LID, which places heavy burdens on the local nine property owners that will be funding that. And so we thank you for your efforts to provide additional city funding and for the city staff's help in the development of the LID.
Thank you. Sir. We appreciate your testimony. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Eli Spivak, and I actually came prepared to speak on behalf of the Planning Commission, on which I serve, but I'm happy to speak in personally. I'm very overlapped with them. As noted by presentation previously, the Planning Commission offered a letter of support for this program, which I agree with. The letter also had a couple caveats and suggestions, and one of them, I'll paraphrase a read from the letter, was that the Planning Commission fully supports PBOT's decision to focus on person trips rather than VMT, and recommends that the fee structure for homes and apartments have several tiers using data relating home size to average household size. This would more accurately scale residential SDCs to demands on our transportation system by the number of residents living in them, since people use our transportation system, not homes, and would be closer to the way retail and office SDCs are handled. We urge PBOT to refine the methodology this round. So that was from the Planning Commission letter. So I've dug into this a little bit deeper and would like to share with the council that for, as they outlined, residential subset of their fees, for apartments or attached housing, they're proposing a lump sum flat fee across all types. So there would be the same transportation impact fee, whether it's a 300 square foot apartment or a three-story penthouse suite apartment or a three-story townhome. Those would be 3,000 square feet or larger. We know from data that Parks has reviewed, and it's easily available at your fingertips with the American Housing Survey, that on average, smaller homes, like a 400-square-foot apartment, have fewer people living in them than larger homes. And it's not a direct line correlation, but there's clearly a great statistic database showing a correlation between household size and number of people. Unfortunately, the consultants they've hired have not brought that into the equation, and there may be some discrepancy between the type of data they traditionally use and that information. But if you imagine a situation where a small grocery store, imagine the groceries are charged just based on a lump sum for every grocery store, you think that the small grocers would be pretty upset. And that's kind of what's happening here.
Eli, can I just ask you a question?
Sure.
It won't go against your time. I'm having a flashback to, I think, Mark Eveland coming before us a few years ago, and he was talking about what he thought was the inequity of charging SDCs based on the door. And I think the precise argument was we want to create an incentive for those smaller units that are more efficient, and why should we charge the same for, as you say, the 300 square foot versus the 1,500-foot penthouse. And that was a very live discussion in the past. And so and just so I'm clear and I'm reading your testimony, the proposal that's before us now would take us back to just treating the doors the same regardless of the square footage?
I think that's the status quo with transportation right now, is that it's per door rather than square footage.
Maybe it was Parks that we...
Parks has addressed this issue, and in some ways water has addressed it also because homes either have a 5/8, 3/4, or 1-inch meter.
So in Parks, we did make some adjustments.
Correct.
Just got a very helpful letter from Cully Neighborhood Association of Neighbors that actually shows that Parks, in comparison with the transportation, it's in the packet we just got handed.
Because my understanding is when we did the Parks, there was you brought an amendment which actually lowered the charge for the micro units.
Yeah, we had five different categories where PBOT is only proposing.
Is this the flavor of what you're getting at, Eli?
This is the flavor, yes. And I proposed four categories in the middle. I think that I'd be happy with anything, but the idea is that there should be some logical relationship in. Consumers of small homes should not be subsidizing those of large homes who, on average, have more people in them. So there's an equity standpoint. And also a policy perspective is that Price is a driver. If you're paying the same system development charge, whether you're building a 500 square foot unit or a 5,000 square foot unit, then that gives you yet another incentive to build larger homes, larger apartments, and that runs counter to some policy objectives the city of Portland has. So my hope is that whether the data gets resolved or not, that council can submit an amendment to just spread out the fee and avoid the issue that Fritz raised earlier, Commissioner Fritz, about the $1,200 sort of threshold. If you do an addition from 1,100 square feet and add a 100 square foot bump out, you're going to double your SDC from doing that under this current proposal. Spreading it out helps address that question.
Very good. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Alan Kessler. I'm here, at least for the first bit, for the Portland Bus Lane Project. We sent you a letter. It lists 10 specific projects that we would like you to take a look at, we would like you to prioritize funding on. Specifically, when you prioritize funding on those projects, we would like you to please make sure that PBOT is directed that those funds must include transit priority. All of those spots we found in particular, we believe, will particularly benefit specific bus lines. We've listed those out. We've bolded the bus lines that have been called out by the GTC and ETC in the letter. I didn't hand you a copy of the letter right now if you're all looking for it. There's some confused looks. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
I emailed it. I'll send another round, but it's in testimony. But anyway, if you'll look at our letter, there's a list of 10 projects that are enumerated. They show you in the first column the project number, the name, and then they'll show you which bus lines those will benefit. And we think that it would be a shame to spend those funds without benefiting a bus service, but these are great opportunities where we can spend the funds and increase transit, increase the priority of transit. So these comments, the next comments are my own. I wanted to repeat something that was said by staff while one of the commissioners had stepped out, which is that buses are 95% more efficient than single occupancy vehicles at moving people through our neighborhoods. PBOT has told you that they want to start counting people trips, not car trips. The logical conclusion of that is we should not add a single bit of additional auto capacity. More importantly, when we're doing revisions to our street, when we're restriping, when we're doing any sort of improvements to our streets, we should be looking for opportunities to take unnecessary vehicle capacity away and reallocate it to the more efficient modes. Specifically to transit, because that's the most efficient mode. I asked the clerk to distribute a copy of a recent plan. Okay, so this is the restriping on Main, or these are the improvements that are planned for Main. These just came out today. PBOT gave me a donut the other day on Better NATO. They came out, they tabled, they stopped and talked to people who were riding by. So I stood and I talked to one of the project managers from PBOT on Better NATO for a while about this specific project. This was actually a couple of months ago. When we talked about it, one of the things that came up is that the bus lane is you'll see it's on the right side of the paper. It's on the east side of the intersection. It used to be on the west side of the intersection. That's more efficient because the bus doesn't get stuck between these right-turning vehicles, between people who are trying to cross the street when the light turns green. So if you were ever to stand and watch buses at that intersection, they take a long time to make that turn. And you'll see three or four backed up at times. This is an example of an opportunity missed. The dark shading in here is where we're going to be adding concrete, so it's a permanent solution. But had we moved the bus stop across the street here, we could have increased transit priority. Additionally, had we chosen to eliminate right turns here, we could have increased transit priority. The reason the gentleman told me that we're not eliminating right turns is because there's a lot of demand for right turns. Well, I point out the irony. We were standing on Better NATO, which used to be a freeway. What was the demand for car travel on Better NATO on the waterfront park during that time? It was zero because we'd eliminated it. People found other ways. We need to tell PBOT with every single project, increase person capacity, don't increase vehicle capacity.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you, all three of you. Next two, please.
Our Paul, I believe the last name is Grove, and Laura Young.
Good
Paul, why don't you start,
all right,
please?
Thank you. Mayor Wheeler, commissioners, for the record, my name is Paul Grove. I'm with the Portland Metro HBA. Appreciate the opportunity to testify today. I submitted a letter. It may have been a little late for your package, so yeah, there should be something forthcoming if you don't already have it. I'll try not to repeat what I said in the letter. But I wanted to speak in support of the proposal today. As an association, we've long recognized the importance of SDCs in addressing the impacts to the system around new development. And this proposal is in keeping with that. One of the things that struck us as an association was, in this lengthy process, the degree of outreach and input that PBOT sought from all stakeholders. I think it was a very robust discussion that was had, whether it was industry development, DRAC, Planning and Sustainability Commission, and other community and neighborhood groups. And I think it really served as a model in terms of the type of feedback and input for folks to have their concerns raised, addressed, and then ultimately or potentially realized in the proposal. So I think kudos to PBOT and PBOT staff in that throughout the process. As I noted, the association is supportive of this, and I think as Mary Helen noted in DRAC, it's not often that we come forward in support of certain proposals. And so I think, in my testimony, I listed a series of points, and they range from geographic equity to the balancing out affordability concerns in terms of using 50% of the maximum defensible rate. But one of the things I wanted to really touch upon was the accountability aspect. And I think that the process that PBOT undertook and having that move forward will ensure a degree of accountability with this program that we're encouraged by moving forward. I think whether it's refinements to the program, whether we're looking at improvements, I think it's something that can set the standard for the proposals that they have. And if we want to see potential changes moving forward, and I know folks want to examine certain items, that we can, again, bring that diverse group of citizens and stakeholders together to hash out those policy objectives and move forward on that. So I'll be mindful of folks' time. Again, I have written remarks, and thank you for the opportunity.
Mayor, can I just
thank
pose
you.
A question?
Commissioner Fish.
Paul, you represent the industry that builds things, so I'm curious of your perspective on a question that came up in the prior panel. So the city has all these policies that are trying to encourage smaller, greener footprint. We're going to get denser, so we got to go smaller and greener. What do you say to the critics of a system that treats SDCs the same for a 300 square foot very efficient unit and a 2,000 square foot penthouse?
Well, I think Commissioner Fish, members of council, I think I am cognizant, and I've had a lot of discussions with my friends from Cully about this issue. And I think at least where the proposal stands right now, there's a degree of comfort for our members in terms of we have a carve out for 1,200 square feet or less, in particular around ADUs. Cottage style development is one of the things that we discussed amongst our Portland members. I would defer to PBOT in the sense of, we're looking at the trips, we're looking at the impacts to the system, and I think their testimony noted that more data was needed, and I think we would subscribe to that.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good. Good morning.
All right. Good morning. Thank you. My name is Laura Young. I'm the chair of the Cully Association of Neighbors, and I have letter of recommendation and comments. I had attached an example to the back of the letter. It's not actually part of the letter, just so you know. Dear Mayor and Commissioners, the Cully Association of Neighbors would like to offer comments on the Transportation System Development Plan charge update. As background, the Cully neighborhood was annexed into the city in 1985. Consequently, we share, similar with East Portland, a lack of adequate transportation infrastructure, such as sidewalks, safe bike routes, paved streets, and connectivity. We are therefore pleased that a number of projects important to our neighborhood are proposed to be eligible for the Transportation System Development Charge funding. At the same time, we are aware that the transportation improvements, while needed and desirable, make our neighborhood more attractive to developers, investors, and homebuyers, driving up prices and exacerbating displacement that we're already experiencing. Due to these pressures, we adopted an inclusive COLI policy as a community, which proposes a variety of strategies, including encouraging moderately priced individual homeownership as a wealth-building, prosperity-enhancing strategy, encouraging renters to become homeowners, to build wealth, and to stabilize families, and encouraging alternative designs for infill, such as accessory dwelling units, small house cottage clusters, and other strategies to promote more affordable market-rate infill housing. All these strategies could be served by a slightly amended rate schedule for TSDCs. The proposed rate schedule offers three rates for residential development, single-family less than 1,200 square feet, and multifamily. The rate for the small house is half the rate for a larger house and a bit more than the rate for an apartment. We appreciate the proposal seems to acknowledge the need to incentivize smaller housing units. As it stands, however, the proposal does not accomplish that. At most, the only housing that will be built smaller than 1,200 square feet is an accessory dwelling unit, an ADU, so there is no incentive to build smaller market rate housing. Meanwhile, the apartment rate means that a 4,000 square foot penthouse or a luxury three-story townhouse will actually pay a little less than an ADU. And on the back side of your letter, there's an example of the proposed residential transportation rates, and then the parks rate system as well, as we're using as an example as a better model. The rate schedule for parks, SDCs, adopted in 2014 offers a good example. It lists five residential rates for different size units, regardless of whether they are single or multifamily. This rate structure creates a clear incentive for developers to build smaller and therefore more affordable housing. We understand and support the new methodology using person trips to calculate TSDC rates. The Parks Bureau used the data from 2011 showing large dwelling units having more people in them on average. Now 2015 data is also available through the American Community Survey. It is intuitively obvious that more people results in more trips. I'm going to stop there. I have 3 seconds. I just want to comment. Can I have 30 more seconds? When we talk about the transportation system development charges and how they apply to COLI, it really is an equity issue. We have single mother households, 297% of the city average, African American, 239% of the city average, Latino, 236% of the city average, family households in poverty, 236% of the city average. And we also have a higher than average rate of homeownership, which means we have a large number of low-income homeowners. And having these projects, such as the 47th Avenue LID, the 57th and Killingsworth LID that's proposed by the Habitat Project, and the 75th and Roseland that didn't make the list that I would like to take a plug for you to take another look at, all of these projects create opportunities for small infill projects to reduce the burden on individual homeowners and to get some of this infrastructure improvement completed in a way that doesn't unreasonably burden our community.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Watchdog X. In my opinion, if you want more homes to be built, we don't keep tacking on more fees to the developers. I would like to see the fees held at a certain capped at a certain rate and held for at least the next 3 years. I think market conditions right now, especially on developing more multifamily, it's beginning to cool off, and we need to offer something to the developers to keep the current pace moving forward. Every time you tack on more fees, it's going to kick up the prices of housing. Every time you tack on more fees, it's going to kick up the rents for the tenants. Why not cap it, carry it out for 3 years, don't add more on the developers. They've done a great job in the last few years. Let them continue that pace and understand we still need more units, we still need more homes developed. And the thing about it, the reality is that when you look at certain studies, we might have a surplus of smaller units as far as multifamily. We need larger units built right now. We need to have more developed for family-sized units. And, you know, the numbers make more sense to build the smaller units in these developments. We need to make more sense to build larger family-sized units, to develop more homes. We are restricting the developers moving forward. We are adding more fees to them when they've done an outstanding job in the last 3 years. They have added a tremendous amount of inventory. Don't penalize them for that. Continue the movement to go forward. Continue supporting the development community. And understand, look at the market conditions right now. It's beginning to cool off. We need to understand to keep them developing more properties, quit adding more fees to these developers. And in my opinion, we've got to stop doing that, plain and simple. We have to stop penalizing the current developers out in the marketplace. Don't add more on the fees. Put a cap on it. And I don't approve what's going to be passed today. And you're all going to pass it, of course, because it's more fees to the city. I absolutely disagree with this.
Lightning, this proposal actually reduces fees.
It actually does not. When you look at the charts from Beaverton.
It does on some.
Yeah. Okay, since you brought that up, I will go back against you. If you look at Beaverton opposed to Portland, and then you look at the increases on a single-family home, it actually went up. So for you to say it's actually going down is incorrect. That's an actual incorrect statement. Okay, that is incorrect. So my point being, if you want to keep adding more fees to the developers, it's going to stop them from wanting to develop more properties. We're already seeing that right now. And if you add more fees, it's going to increase the rents. It's not going to make housing affordable. And why do you add more fees if you want more development at this time when we have a housing shortage, when we have a shortage for housing currently out there? Why do you keep adding more fees? It doesn't make sense. Do you really have to at this time? That's my question. Do you really have to when the market is cooling off? So that's my position. Thank you. Don't add more fees to the developers. They've done a great job. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thanks, all three of you, for your testimony. We appreciate it. So Commissioner Saltzman has an amendment on the table that was seconded by Commissioner Fritz. Is there any further discussion on that amendment? We're going to move this to second, but we can take the vote on the amendment, move that as well.
What I'd like to reserve... I have questions which I'd like to ask PBOT
sure.
before the second reading.
You
I may
bet.
Have some more amendments after that.
Very good. Come on up.
No, I don't want to ask it now.
Oh, not coming back in 2 weeks.
Yes, coming back in
yeah,
2 weeks.
Very, very yeah. good.
I will certainly be in touch, responding to some of the testimony that we heard. I'm sure you do have comments on that.
So we could pass the amendment to second reading,
yes.
leaving that open, if that would be your preference.
Yes, please.
Very good, and Commissioner Saltzman's good with that, so the proposer and the seconder. So with that, this is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance.
We're going to vote on the amendment.
Could we?
Oh, you want to vote on the
Let's
amendment.
Let's vote on the yeah. amendment, Mayor.
Very good. Call the roll.
Thank you.
Could we just hear the amendment since it's been a while?
So the here it is, Dan, if you want to reread it.
Oh, okay.
Or just a brief description.
Well, it for... colleges and universities,
oh, right. okay.
it replaces square foot calculation with a student calculation.
Great.
Okay.
Thanks.
Very good. Please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you, everybody, for your testimony, and thanks for all the staff work. I think we're getting towards a really good conclusion. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. The amendment is adopted. This
Mayor?
Is Commissioner Fish.
So it's going to come back in 2 weeks, and... like Commissioner Fritz, there's some, I thought it was a superb presentation, but there's some follow-up questions I'll have. And what we'll do is we'll start with emails just outlining the questions and then follow up with any briefings that are necessary. But there's a couple areas around smart cities and around this issue of whether we ought to have a further schedule depending on the square footage behind the door. And I'm just interested in learning more about that. But thank you very much.
So just a couple quick things based on the testimony. So I think on the autonomous vehicles, we don't have anything explicitly in our project list that is related to AV construction. So that's one thing we will provide more input in writing. Amy's testimony talked about one of the projects that you just voted on with consent today, which is adding her request to the 70s bikeway. So that is already fully incorporated in our SDC project list. So. Thank you, Amy.
That was, I think, 2 weeks ago on the consent agenda.
I believe. Right, I think yep. we voted today.
Oh. Which one
yeah.
was that?
Yeah,
it was the 70s bikeway.
Okay.
Yep. And then Jim's request about the North Suttle Road, that is a project on our SDC list, so that is good.
And then on the transit priority request, we can certainly put forward an amendment that I think would address their concerns if you want to do that. But I think inherently in our projects, we prioritize transit. So it's a question as to whether or not you want to do another amendment or if you just want us to make sure that we include those in those 10 projects that they asked about. And then we will provide in writing some more analysis about the single-family home.
Well, that's incredibly responsive. Thank you.
Yeah, that addresses two of my specific concerns raised in testimony. The other is about why you chose two categories of single family rather than five. Look forward to that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good. Colleagues, anything else? Good. This is a non-emergency first reading of an ordinance. It moves to second reading as amended to September 27th. Very good. Next item, please.